I'll share my story with you today. Thank you for the honor and for the opportunity. But before we do, can I read from the Bible? Is that all right? Will you turn with me to Psalm 27? I want to read. This is, Bishop, this is probably my favorite chapter in, I say it's my favorite chapter. I love Luke 15. I love the Gospel of John. But there's something about Psalm 27 that just speaks to my life and has been an encouragement to me throughout my life. And so look with me to Psalm 27. And I want to read, I'll just read from verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom will I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they trip and they fall. They stumbled and fell. They didn't get to do what they set out to do. Though an army should encamp against me, I'm not going to be afraid. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm seeking after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What are you going to do when you get there? Behold the beauty of the Lord. Ask all my questions in his house, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head is lifted up above my enemies encircling me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face far from me. Do not thrust your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother. Now, the MEV says if, and the King James says it. The ESV, I like the way it says this. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. So teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in an upright path because of my enemies. And do not deliver me to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So wait on the Lord. Be strong, and may your heart be stout. Take courage and wait on the Lord. Somebody say amen. Is it okay that we read all 14 verses? That's a beautiful psalm. That's a powerful psalm into our lives. And it's spoken to me, and I pray that the Lord speaks to you today. Can we pray one more time? Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful today for your blessings. I'm thankful for all your benefits, for your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I pray, Lord, your people are already blessed. Your word is already blessed. I pray that you would bypass my carnal mind and minister to us today through the power of your word and your spirit working together to draw us all closer to you. Lift our faith. Strengthen and encourage us today, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. So my story starts before me. How many knows most of your story starts before you? You decisions are made and things happen in your family's life and in your parents' life that create circumstances that happen before you. It's interesting. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Luke 15, where Jesus tells three parables. He tells parables of lost things. We often call it the prodigal son, but he was actually a lost son. He talks about a lost coin. He talks about a lost sheep, Luke 15, and he talks about the lost son. And so it's a parable of three lost things. But what's interesting to me is the condition of those lost things. Now see, I told you I was going to be telling my testimony, and here I am preaching. So we're going somewhere. So the first one he tells is of the lost coin, but the coin and the sheep and the sun are all in different conditions. One is lost, it doesn't know it's lost, and it's not lost through any decisions of its own, the coin. One is lost, it knows it's lost, but it has no way to get found, it's the sheep. And then one is lost through decisions that it made, and it knows how to get back, but it can't get back until it wakes up and decides to get back. That's the lost son. And so people are in those conditions. We're all in, when we are all lost, in our loss. Anybody ever been lost? You ever been lost? I don't know where I am. I don't know where I'm going. See, I was raised on the south side of Chicago. I got some Chicago people here. I was raised on the south side of Chicago, and I was used to getting directions. I did my driver's ed on 95th and Cicero. So I was used to getting directions like you take 119th to Western. On Western, you turn, you go to 127th. At 127.53, that's where you're going. Those were the directions I was used to. You people down here don't do that. Can I get a witness from Tower Hill somewhere? Anybody? I'm preaching now. See, you people don't do that. When you people from down here give direction, I've lived down here 25 years now, and I found myself starting to do this. But what I discovered back in 2000 when I first moved down here from Chicago, when you people give directions, Brother Kevin, you say things like, go to where the old barn used to be. Give me a wave if you know what I'm talking. There we go. Well, you know where they used to have that place, but they tore down the fence. That's where you're, right? That's how you people give directions. I don't know what that means. I've never seen. I had a guy actually give me directions one time. He said, Brother Cooper, he said, turn at the good fence. What's a good fence? What are we talking about here? There'll be a dog laying in the road. Whichever way his tail is pointing, just go that way. I don't know what this means. I've been lost. Anybody ever been lost before? We get lost, and we're prone to wandering, and we're prone to distraction, and we're prone to getting lost from time to time. And we like to think that because we're a Christian and we got saved and I was baptized when I was 10 years old and all that kind of stuff, we think I've never been lost. But how many knows from time to time we get lost? We lose our way. And so the coin in Luke 15 was like that. It was lost, but it was lost because the person who handled it lost it. It was not lost. The coin was not lost from any choice of its own. And a lot of times your life and mine is like that. Our story starts long before we do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I talking to anybody already? Our story starts long before we do, with people who make decisions for us before we're ever on the scene. And so my story starts before me. My grandmother got cancer. She was raised in church herself and then left the church as an adult and lived a very wild kind of life. She got lung cancer, and she went to the doctor, and they said, well, we can remove one of your lungs and you would still have another lung. And then they removed a part of the other lung, and she was left very limited lung function. And they said, we're sorry, the cancer is still spreading. And the oncologist told her there's nothing more we can do. We can't try any more chemo. We can't try any more radiation. We've done all the surgeries we can. They told my grandmother, they said that you probably have 3 to 6 months to live. They sent her home, put her on hospice. And so in that moment, when she realized that she was facing the end of her life, my grandmother remembered all the things she was taught in Sunday school, and she remembered growing up in the Pentecostal church down in Southern Illinois. She remembered being in DuCoin and then all that she was raised in. And she told my mom and my aunts, she said, I need you to get the phone book. And she said, this was in the 1900s for those. People still had phone books. And so she said, I need you to get the phone book. And she said, I need you to find a Pentecostal preacher. And they said, why? And she said, because they believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. And so they got the phone book, and they found a Pentecostal preacher in Harvey. And they called Pastor Terry Cox, and they said, would you come pray for our mother? She's dying with cancer. And he said, sure, I'd be glad to come meet you. So he came and prayed and started teaching her Bible study and teaching my mom and my aunt's Bible studies. And this was the year I was born. This was in the spring, and I was born in the fall. And so started teaching her Bible studies and praying for her. And my grandmother, over the weeks that were to follow while she was under hospice care, she was not growing weaker, she was growing stronger. And the hospice nurse was coming, and they were bringing, you know, wanted to bring medications and stuff. And she was asking for food. She was saying, I'd like to have a cheeseburger. You know, would someone bring me some food? And she wanted some pizza, and she wanted food. And she was getting stronger. And she said, you know, I'd like to go back to the hospital. I'd like to have some more tests run. And the hospice nurses were saying, well, yeah, that's not necessary. All the results are in, and this is what the doctor said. She said, no, I feel good. She said, I'd like to go back. So they said, okay. So they called the oncologist, made an appointment, and my grandmother went back to the oncologist. They ran a bunch of tests, Bishop, and they called her they said it'll be a week or so, a few days or a week before we get the results. And so then they called her and they said, we need you to come in. We're going to have to run some more tests. Something doesn't look right. And so she went back and they ran a second battery of tests and they did another PET scan and they said, okay, we'd like to do this just one more time. They ran three series of scans on her, Bishop. And then finally, the oncologist brought my grandmother, my mom, and my aunts into his office and said, okay, the reason we did this so many times is because these charts aren't matching up. They said, these are your charts from 3 months ago when we released you. And he said, here's the test that we've run over the last couple of weeks. He said, these are two different women. This woman is full of cancer and there's nothing we can do. This chart is a woman who doesn't have a single cancer cell in her entire body. So we can't find cancer anywhere in you. And so from then on, that doctor one of my aunts worked at that hospital, St. Francis in Blue Island. And from then on, whenever he would see my grandmother over the next 15 years until she finally passed away, he would say, there's my miracle lady. He would say, there's my miracle lady. He said, I don't know what you've done. He said, I don't know who you saw or what you did, but you are in remission. The cancer is gone. How many knows we serve a God that still heals all of our diseases? Let me just say this. I know that God doesn't heal everyone. And I know that everyone doesn't have a miracle story like that. But God can. Do you understand that? God can do in your life whatever he wants to do in your life. And God can do in my life whatever he wants to do in my life. But that I don't want anybody in here to leave thinking that, well, God did it for them and that's never going to happen for me. You pray, you believe, you stand on the promises of God. And you see what God wants to do in your life. How many still believes God is a healer of our diseases? Well, somebody just lift your hand right now. Would you do that with me? Jesus, we thank you. Lord, I believe you can send healing virtue flowing through this house right now. You can bring healing to their bodies. In Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. And so, because of that, we started going to church, and this was the year I was born. So I was raised in church, and my mom came in and was filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. My aunts came in, and so me and all my cousins and my aunts and my grandma, and so we were raised in church. And if the doors were open, we were there. A lot of times, I grew up in government housing on the south side of Chicago. I was raised by a single mom, and my dad left. My dad was from Mexico, and he left when I was about a month old. And so we lived in government housing on the south side. And I remember some of my earliest memories are going to the office to get the food stamps. And is anybody in here old enough to remember when food stamps looked like Monopoly money? I guess, okay. Woo, there's my people, right? Anybody else remember that? We would go, anybody, give me a wave if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, I remember when food stamps looked like Monopoly money and you'd have to go to the office and we would get, this is no joke. I know, again, this was the 1900s, so some of you younger folks don't get this. But we used to act, they would give you a brick of cheese. Anybody remember that? I love it. There's so many people. And it was my job when I was 8 or 9 or 10 years old. My mom would say, you want to carry the cheese? And I got to carry the big brick of fake Velveeta cheese out of the food stamp office. And we would get that was good stuff. That would melt over some crackers, right? And those were white people nachos, right? You get the saltine crackers and that melted fake Velveeta from the food stamp office. That's what we ate. And so we would get the food stamps, and my mom would tear off like the $1 food stamp, and I would have to take that to my bus stop, to the corner store, the little bodega with the cat sleeping in the window, and I'd go there and at my bus stop, and I would get the little juice box with the foil on top. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That juice box with the foil on top and a piece of candy or something with that. That's how I was raised. And so we lived in the government housing, and then when we left the government housing, we lived in a trailer park right off the Dan Ryan. So if you've ever gone into Chicago and you've gone up Interstate 57, you went right under the exit where my bedroom was. Our trailer faced the fence that was on the side of the interstate at the exit of 119th and Ashland. So when you go under the 119th Street Bridge, Bishop, now there's a Target there. There's like a shopping center. But it was the trailer park, and my window faced Interstate 57. And all night long, I heard the cars going underneath the interstate because we didn't have air conditioning, so the windows were open. Anybody else raised poor in here? Where's my poverty people, right? We had the windows open and the fan in the window, and that's how we slept. And so I say that to say, when the church doors were open, we were there. And most of that was because we wanted to be righteous, but some of that was because the church had air conditioning. The church had air conditioning and the trailer didn't. And that's just a hot box in the summer in Chicago. That's just a hot box. And so we were at church, and so that's how I was raised. Until I was about 12 years old, and my grandfather died, and we got a little bit of money, and my mom bought a computer. We bought a Macintosh, bought an Apple computer, and we got the internet. And that was in the days of dial-up internet. You know, you had the thing, and you plugged it in to the phone line and whatnot. Some of you older people know about that. You old folks. And so we got the internet, and My mom started, she started getting on like AOL chat sites, and she'd go into chat rooms and she'd get on websites where you could talk to people, and started forming relationships with individuals. And when I was about 16 years old, my mom, this had went on for a couple years, and when I was about 16 years old, my mom left one weekend, and I had been saving money. I'd been working through high school, saving money because I wanted to go to Indiana Bible College. I felt a call of God on my life. I wanted to be a preacher. And so I was saving money, and I was just taking all of my paychecks from working at an animal hospital after school and putting them in my mom's bank account. And so all of my money for college was in there. And so I was 16, getting ready to turn 17. I was in my junior year, and I had gone. And my mom, she was gone one weekend, and she called, the phone rang when I was at home. I didn't know where she was, and my brother lived down here at that time. And so I was just in the trailer by myself, and she called, and I answered the phone, and it was her. And I said, "Where are you? What's going on?" And she had taken all the money out of the bank account and got a plane ticket and flew to Kansas City, Missouri, and moved in with a guy that she had met online. And I said, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" And she was like, "I'm sorry, I'll try and pay you back someday. I had to use that money for the plane ticket and to get settled into our new apartment and all this stuff." And I said, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" And she said, "Well, I actually sold the trailer to my cousin, Marshall." She said, "So you can go live with one of your aunts." And I was like, okay, so I went and I talked to my pastor, and he helped me through that. But that was one of the, this is why Psalm 27 speaks to me in such a deep way, because it's not an if, it's not a theoretical thing. My father and my mother both left me. And when you're 17 years old and your parents are gone, you don't have either parent in your life, you start to ask questions like, what's wrong with me? Right? Like, what did I do? Why did my dad didn't even bother when I was a baby? I hadn't even done anything yet, and he's been gone. And then now my mom, I'm 17 years old, and now she leaves too? Like, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't anybody, you start asking yourself those questions. And the thing that strengthened me through that, I didn't know, here was where I was at, and I'll try and hurry. Where do you go? What do you do? And I felt a little bit like the Apostle Peter. when Peter, Jesus is preaching to the crowds, and he tells them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And they said, whoa, what's all this flesh and blood stuff? And they said, we don't know about this. And the Bible says that the crowds left him by the thousands. They left. And all that was left was the 12. And Jesus looked at the 12 and he said, are you going to leave also? And nobody said anything. And then Peter finally speaks up, Bishop. And Peter says, where would we go? Peter says, where would we go? Because you alone had the words of eternal life. And I'm going to be honest with you. It was that verse and it was that notion. Brother Kevin, that's what kept me, is I thought, well, where else do I go? And so I... I went to church. I didn't know where else to go. I didn't know what else to do, Brother Rick. So I just, Sunday morning, I just got... You just get dressed and you go to church. Let me tell you something. Can I preach for like 20 seconds in here? Is this all right? Let me tell you something. Second Chronicles chapter 6, when Solomon is dedicating the temple, God wouldn't let David build a temple, but he let Solomon build a temple. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, when Solomon is praying a prayer to dedicate the temple, Brother Rick, here's what he says. He says, God, you live in the heavens are your throne, the earth are your footstool, you live in the heaven of heavens. He said, there's no house that we can build that can contain you. He said, you don't need this place. Solomon was dedicating the temple that he had built in Jerusalem, and he said, you know what? You don't need this, God. And he reminded the children of Israel. He said, God doesn't need this house. We do. He said, God doesn't need this house. I do. And he went on to pray all through chapter 6 and then into chapter 7. You read it for yourself. He says, because here's what's going to happen. The day's going to come when somebody is going to get sick and I'm going to need a place to come and ask somebody to pray for me and believe God for my healing. He said, I need this house as a place where God will hear my prayers. He said, and the day's going to come when I'm going to recognize, Brother Jonathan, that there's sin in my life and I need some way to deal with this sin. And he said, I'm going to need to come to this house. And he said, God, you justify the righteous, and so I'm going to need you to hear my prayer. And he said, the day's going to come when it's not going to rain and the crops are going to dry out and the fields are going to get dry and yellow and brittle. And he said, we're going to need to pray for someone to rescue our city and our nation. And he said, we need you to hear from heaven and heal our land. Solomon told Israel when he built the temple, God does it. Let me tell you something. This is a beautiful building, and I have stood in awe over the decades that I've been able to be here and worship here and love on this church and love with my friends and family that are here. I love all the things that you're doing, and I love the new remodeling and the new expansions, and I love it all, but God doesn't need a bit of it. You do. I do. I need this place. Anybody else need this house? Anybody else need this house? I need to be here. I need to hear from God. I need someone to pray. I need a bishop to lay their hand on my head and say, be healed in Jesus' name. I need someone to open the book Sunday after Sunday and declare what thus saith the word of the Lord. I need someone like you sitting next to me, putting your hand on my shoulder, saying, God's got this. We're going to get through this together. Brother Bill, I need someone in the foyer afterwards, putting their arm around my shoulder and saying, I'm praying for you. Can we get breakfast this week? Anything I can do for you? God doesn't need this house. God doesn't need these pews. God doesn't need this pulpit. You need this house. I need these pews. I need this altar. I gotta hurry. I'm sorry. I gotta hurry. I needed the church. And so I didn't know what else to do, so I just went to church. I went back to church, and my pastor, he told me, you're going to get through this, and he gave me a car, and he helped me find a place, and so he took me down to IBC to my first year, and I went down to IBC, and God has been good, and I went to Indiana Bible College, and I had to work, and are things a little harder? Yes. And were things a little tougher? Yes. And were there more challenges? Yes. And there were more decisions to make? Yes. But let me tell you something, friend, what I have found is what we read, and I'm going to hurry to a close. I need to finish. That what I read in Psalm 27, when my father and my mother forsake me, I tell you what I have found to be true. And I want to tell you from my experience, friend, you can bet on this with your life. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So how do I respond to that? Read on. He said, so teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the paths of righteousness. And I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So wait on the Lord. Be strong. May your heart be stout. Pray for boldness in the Holy Ghost. Pray for courage. Courage to keep trusting Jesus. For in the time of trouble, you know what he does? He hides me in his tabernacle. Do you see that? Let me tell you something, friend. It's okay to say, I don't have this figured out. We have this pressure to say, we've always got it together and I've always got it figured out. And we look at people and you see me and you got your suit on and you got your tie looking nice. And, you know, we got our shoes shined up and I got my belt that matches my shoes and everything right. Everything looks good. And we feel like we have to get it all together. But there are sometimes it's okay to say, I need you, Jesus. I need the church. I need help. I don't have, there is a time of trouble and he will hide me in his pavilion. In the shelter of his tabernacle, I am safe in the hands of Jesus. The Lord is your strength. The Lord is your strength. The Lord is your strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. And so I went to Indiana Bible College. The Lord has blessed me. And my mom and I have reconciled. And my mom has come back to the Lord, and the Lord has done a good work. And I've met my dad. I met my dad when I was 23 years old for the first time. I met him in Mexico. That was quite an adventure. I met my dad for the first time, and I still talk to him on the phone from time to time. And so God has done a work of healing, and God has done a work of putting things back together. And God, through it all, has blessed me. I never had a dad, and I'm trying to be the dad that I wished I had had. That's all you can do is try and be what you say, well, I don't have this or I don't have that. Well, why don't you try and be what it is that you wished you had had? And so I'm trying to be that dad that I never had. And God has blessed me with a beautiful family. I assisted Pastor Jenkins in Toledo, Illinois for about 10 years. And then we planted the church in Casey in 2011. And so this is our 13th year pastoring the church in Casey. God has done miracles. God has blessed us. God has established the church. And I'm so thankful. I've got a picture of my family in case you want to see. We've got 6 kids. And that's our tribe right there. And God has been nothing. 2 of my kids are with me today. I'm glad Abby and Beckham are here. They're here with me today. I'm thankful for what God does because I believe it's true for you. Stand with me if you will. I got to finish. If you will wait on the Lord, he says, be strong. Let your heart have courage. Wait on the Lord. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? What else? Listen, life isn't fair. Look at somebody and say, that's right. That's right. Life isn't fair. How many can raise your hand and say, you've got a story you could tell? Life just isn't fair. Life. You didn't deserve that. You didn't ask for that. This just happened. That just happened. That diagnosis, that accident, that thing happened. This crisis, life isn't fair. But you can trust in Jesus. Life is hard. Life is hard. And there's a lot of decisions. And it's not easy. And it's not fair. And just when you think you got it figured out, here you are beginning again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you get this figured out, and then something shifts, and now I'm beginning again. And then I get this figured out, and now I'm starting all over, and I don't know what this looks like. Life isn't fair, and life is hard. But yo, friend, this is all my story can tell you, is that you can trust in Jesus. Go to him. Tell him everything that you feel. Tell him. I'm scared. I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I feel powerless. I'm overwhelmed. I'm confused. Just tell him. I don't know what to do. Just talk to Jesus. You can trust him. You can depend on him. He will never leave you or forsake you. Our expectations are all wrong. See, we ask people and things to never change. My son had an appointment, my doctor's appointment at the Children's Hospital in Chicago on Thursday. And so I just drove up there on Thursday, drove past 119th and Ashland, saw where that old trailer park used to be. I almost pulled into JJ's Chicken and Fish, but I didn't. I almost did. I didn't. How many knows, anybody experienced this yet, that it's really true, you can never go home? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can never go home. Because things change. Things change. People say things like, you know, you have people say, they talk about their siblings are so different. And they say, we were raised in the same house by the same parents. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Because as soon as another child was born, that was a different house. And your parents were different parents. And then once a third child was born, well, now that's a different house and your parents are different parents again. And newlywed parents are different than parents who've been married a while, or versus parents who've been, your parents have changed. You've changed. Your house has changed. Nothing stays the same. Things are constantly changing. And what we do is we ask for natural things. Things that change. People, places, things. We ask them to stay the same so that we can depend on them. I don't want anything to change. That's why we hate when things change. We want these things that are in our hands stay the same so that I feel safe. But the problem is we live in a material world, a natural world, and everything is constantly changing. There's only one immutable thing in this entire world. There's only one thing in this entire world that is the same, Bishop, yesterday, today, and forever. There's only one rock you can anchor your life to that will always be the same. And that's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Would you lift your hands with me right now? All over the house. Anybody feel what I feel in here? There's a sweet spirit of God. Anybody feel what I feel? There's such a sweet spirit in here right now. Anybody need to trust Jesus for something? Anybody got some confusion, some fears, some stresses? How about some burdens? Things you've been carrying by yourself, it feels, for a long time, that you just like to set it down for just a moment. Anybody ever just, I see it all over the house right now. Lift your hands. Grab the hand of a loved one next to you. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. You can trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him. Would you do it? Anybody feel that? Anybody feel what I feel right now? Do you want to come to this? Do you want to maybe grab the hand of a loved one and come to this altar? Maybe you want to pray right where you are, but there's some things you need to put into the hands of Jesus. There's some things that you need to just trust him with. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Look at that, all over the house. There's such a sweet spirit in here right now. Why don't you come lay a burden down? That's it. That's it. Why don't you just come lay a burden down? Say, God, I can't carry this anymore. I've been doing this alone for too long. I've been worried about this for so long. God, we need some relief. God, I need an answer. That's it. Jesus' name. Would you come and pray with somebody? Say, Jesus, we need your strength. I want you to heal this in my family. I want you to heal this in my marriage. I want you to heal this in my kids. God, if you can make it different, make it different. Yes, 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 yes. Jesus' name.